Let's bow before Almighty Yahweh. Father Yahweh, we come before you. We pray that this feast has been a blessing to you. It's certainly been a blessing to those here. We pray that what we've done during this time has been honoring to you, that our lives and our interactions and our behavior has been a reflection of your kingdom and your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. We pray that as we leave now, that you'd be with all those here, that you'd be with those as we travel back home, and with those throughout this remaining year. We know there's a dearth with feast days, that there's no feast days during your winter months. So we pray that you'd be with those, especially those without fellowship. And we pray that you would bless all those who made the effort to be here, that came to congregate, that came to worship you. And we thank you for all that you do. And we ask this in Yahshua's beloved name. Hallelujah. Amen. Y'all may be seated. I want to begin by saying I pray that this feast has been a blessing to everybody here. It has certainly been a blessing to my family. It allows us to come out of the world for 8 days to spend a few days with those of like faith. And that's a blessing. It really is. I also want to thank all those who helped make this feast so special. I'm not going to name names because I always forget, but I do want to mention just a few. The worship team, they put a lot of work into it, so thank you, the worship team. All those who provided messages, workshops, our security team, they did a phenomenal job, so thank you to them. Those who helped with children's classes, those who helped with activities, those who helped with meals. I would probably ask everybody to stand if you've had any part, and maybe most of you would stand, but we really do appreciate all the help, all the effort that everybody put forth. The feast is simply more than one or two people can do, and is special when everybody plays a role and a part. And I just want to thank all those who certainly did that. We have a great group, and I think we've been very, very blessed. It's been a very good feast, so thank you for that. Where today, I thought it'd be fitting as we're leaving and going back into the world to speak about faith over fear. Faith over fear. Now, there are many things in this world that are troubling. We've seen many use fear with the COVID pandemic. We've all seen the stories of the small child who contracted COVID suffering in the ICU or the parent who tragically died in the hospital. And while I do believe that people are dying from COVID, I do believe it's serious. I also believe that they are using this to control and to cause fear and to manipulate so that we will comply with their every whim. The current administration, as many of you know, are now forcing vaccine mandates to many around this country. To this, I will say for myself, I will not comply. I'm not going to comply with this. Thankfully, I live in a state who values freedom. That values freedom. There's other reasons to be concerned, including our $23 trillion deficit, the rise in socialism, the moral collapse that we are seeing in this nation and around the world. America is not the same nation that it was 50 years ago. It's not the same nation that it was 20 years ago. We've seen a decline, a moral decline in this nation like never before. We're seeing this same decline around the world. We're seeing these same trends in places like Europe and other locations around the world. Homosexuality, a sin that Yahweh defines as an abomination, is now accepted by the vast majority. How dare you speak against homosexuality? And this includes many who claim to believe in the Bible. We're also seeing a rise in transgenderism. Did you ever believe that you would see a day when we would be talking about which pronouns we want to use? Well, we're seeing that day. Whether we were a he or a she or an it or a they. Where this is an abomination based on Yahweh's word. As we know from prophecy, though, things will only become worse as Yahshua's coming becomes closer. But as believers, I don't believe that we should have the spirit of fear. Here's what our Savior said in Matthew 24. 24, verse 21, he said, "For then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." This passage is known as the Olivet Prophecy, one of the greatest prophecies within the Word. Within it, our Savior speaks about many of the coming signs that we will see during the tribulation. He prophesies that this time will be the worst time this world has ever and will ever see. At no other time will we see greater atrocities than those committed during the Great Tribulation. Not during Nazi Germany or any other horrific time will rival this time that we call the Great Tribulation. In this prophecy, Yahshua said that we would see deception, that we would see wars, that we would see famines, that we would see many other horrific signs before his coming. These days are coming. He says, because of this, man's heart will grow cold or calloused. And he says, because of this, lawlessness or sin will increase. It's for these reasons why overcoming fear is so vital, I believe, for Yahweh's people today. I'm not going to sugarcoat things. I believe things are going to become worse, and things could become worse very, very soon. As believers, we should not fear, but we should be fearless. Believe me when I say that there's coming a day when we must be courageous, that courage will be an absolute must for us as believers. So today I want to talk about overcoming fear, faith over fear. As believers, it's important to recognize one simple truth. One simple truth, and that truth is, we have the greatest power in this universe as our support. There is no power greater in this universe than the one who supports you and I. We have Almighty Yahweh as our shield and our guide. Knowing this, there's no reason we should be afraid. There's no reason we should be concerned. There's no power in this universe that can defeat the one we worship, including the adversary, Satan, the devil. Yes, he may try. Yes, he will do everything he can to discourage us, to push us to our limit. But we also know that Yahweh says that he is faithful to never push us beyond what we can do, never push us beyond what we can bear. We find many passages in the Bible speaking about courage. Today, I want to share a few of those passages with you today, courage. I want to share several examples also, but begin there with Isaiah 41, verse 10. Isaiah 41, verse 10, it says, "Fear you not." So you see, this is a command. He says, "Fear you not." Don't fear, he says, "for I am with you. Be not dismayed. Don't be concerned, for I am your Elohim. I will strengthen you. Yea, I will help you. Yea, I will uphold you with the upright hand of my righteousness." What message do we find here within this passage? Yahweh is telling us not to be afraid. Yahweh is telling us to realize where our strength comes from. Our strength comes from him and him alone. He is our help. He is our guide. He is our strength. He is our courage. Do we believe in this promise? Do we believe that the one we worship is able to do all that we find within this passage? Do we believe that he is able and capable of defending us and providing a way out in times of trouble and distress? If we are going to succeed and overcome fear, we must believe in this promise. We must believe that we worship a mighty one that is greater than all within this universe. We must believe that we worship a mighty one that can make the impossible possible. We must believe that we worship a mighty one that can do all things, and there is nothing beyond his ability. We see a similar passage in Psalms 27. Psalms 27, 1 through 3, says, "Yahweh is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Yahweh is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes," or again, my enemies, those who are opposed to me, "came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident." Psalms 27 is a psalm of David. Many of us, most of us, all of us, know who David is. David was a man of great faith. He overcame many challenges within his life. Near the end of this message, we're going to review one of those challenges, one of those challenges of a Goliath that he overcame. Now, what was the source of David's strength? What was the source of David's courage? Well, very simply, it was Almighty Yahweh, was the one he worshipped. David had a great faith and trust in his Elohim. He realized where his power lied. He realized where his strength was. He realized where his courage was. He realized where his boldness was. He knew that there was nothing he could not achieve if Yahweh be with him. And Yahweh was with him. And David accomplished great, great things through his faith, through his belief, through his courage. He never relented. As believers, we need to be strong like David. As we see in the psalm, even if an army presses upon us, we're to remain strong, knowing that Yahweh is our strength, knowing that Yahweh can deliver, even in such perilous situations as an army or a battle or some horrific force against us. There is no force or power in this universe greater than the one we worship. As David did on many occasions, we must learn to stand on faith. And I say this today because, again, I do believe that we are living in perilous times. And I believe that we will continue to see greater signs in the days to come. And it is absolutely essential that we develop a strength and a courage in the one we worship. If not, we will not stand. We must have this courage. We must have this faith. And we must realize that Yahweh is one who fights our battles. There is nothing beyond him. Speaking about David, I want to share one of the most famous psalms from this man, and that's Psalms 23. Psalms 23, 1 through 6, it says, Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of Yahweh forever. The vast majority of Bible believers are familiar with this psalm. This is something that most everybody knows. Within it, we find David praising Yahweh. We find him recognizing his blessings. We also see him recognizing the defense from the one he worships. He again says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Someone recently asked me, what does it mean to walk through the shadow of death? Well, I understand this is simply referring to the perils of life, life's challenges, the problems and tribulations and trials that we encounter. Now, but what challenges or tribulations we go through in this life, we are not to fear. We are not to fear. We are to be as David. And though we walk through the shadow of the valley of death, we will fear no evil. We will fear no tribulation. We will fear no situation because we know the one we worship. This is a reason why we're not to fear those in anything outside, really. That Yahweh is with us. David says again here, "For thou art with me." As believers, we should always remember that we have Yahweh with us, and that through him, by him, with him, that again, we can walk through that valley of the shadow of death. And again, that we can fear no evil. Through him, we can accomplish great things. We can not fear the coming socialism. We can not fear the COVID pandemic. We can get beyond these fears. You see, faith in him allows us to overcome fear and really provides us with perfect peace. If we have perfect faith, it will lead to perfect peace. The peace that allows us to remove anxiety and concern. And I know believers out there, they're just so concerned about everything. Listen, one thing I want to share is that this life is trivial. This life is vain. It's time as believers that we understand what is important, and we make those things priority. We get so caught up in the trivial. But as believers, it's important that we realize what's important and we drive toward those goals. Nothing in this life is crucial. Nothing in this life really is critical. Not when we compare it to the promise of Yahweh's kingdom. But we all get so caught up in the trivials of life and the meaningless of life. We go through the motions, not realizing that there is a vastly greater promise and that we allow ourselves to become distracted through these trivial matters, through these vain pursuits of life. In Psalms 55, verse 22, we're told to cast our fears, our burdens upon Yahweh. It says there, cast thy burdens upon Yahweh, and he shall sustain thee, and he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. What does it mean to cast our burden upon Yahweh? Well, the word burden is from the Hebrew yahab. The Brown Driver Briggs Hebrew Lexicon defines this word as a burden, a lot, what is given. So the word here, burden, refers to those challenges we encounter in life, those problems, those tribulations, those trials that we encounter in life. It again says here that we're to give these things over to Yahweh. We're to give these burdens, we're to give these challenges, we're to give these fears over to the one we worship. Allow him to sustain us. It goes on to say here that he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. While we all go through trials and tribulations in this life, we know inevitably that we're going to be blessed. And that's a promise we should all keep in mind, that inevitably in life, whether this life or the next life, inevitably we will be blessed. And if it's going to be the next, and it will be for everybody the next life if we're found worthy, and that blessing is going to be beyond measure. No matter what happens in this life, we have a promise that he will see us through, that he will provide, that he will defend, that he will sustain. So we're to cast our concerns upon him. We're to cast our anxiety upon him. We're to cast our fears upon him. He's there to sustain us, and he's big enough to handle those fears. And we're to simply have faith in him, knowing that he's in control. As believers, when we're struggling and suffering in some way, we need to remember the promise we find here. We need to remember that we have an Elohim that is vastly greater than any trial, any tribulation, any suffering that we are going through. The Apostle Paul speaks about overcoming fear in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. I have this on my email signature line. I really enjoy this. It says, for Elohim hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So what message do we see here? Where it says that Yahweh has not given us a spirit of fear. We're not to have a spirit of fear. It says that he's given us a spirit of power. Do we believe what we find here? Do we have faith in the promise we find within this word? Do we believe that Yahweh has given us a power of love and of fear or of a sound mind to overcome fear? Either we believe Yahweh's word or we don't. Either we have faith in his word or we don't. Either we believe that he's given us a power of love and of a sound mind to conquer fear, or we don't. As a believer, do we find ourselves living in fear? Do we find ourselves living in anxiety? Do we find ourselves living in concern? You know, Yahshua said not to worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough troubles of its own. Yahshua understood life. He says, don't worry about those things. Believe you me, he says, there's going to be issues. But he says, don't worry about those things. Do we allow the unknowns and the troubles of life to cause us anxiety and concern? If the answer is yes, then we are not living. We are not living in the power of Almighty Yahweh. We are not living in faith. We are living in fear. As I mentioned, there are many things that we can be fearful of today. We simply need to go to the news and start looking at the titles, and we will see reasons to be afraid. We can go to Facebook and we can see reasons to be afraid. We can see reasons to be afraid in many, many ways, in many areas. But I believe that fear comes only when we're not believing and relying upon the one we worship. That is when fear sets in. I'm not afraid of COVID. I tell people at work, I'm not taking the shot. I'm not afraid. Number one, I've had COVID. I'm okay. If I get COVID again, I'm okay. If I die from COVID, I die from COVID. I'm not going to fear COVID. I just refuse to fear COVID. It says here again that Yahweh has given us power. The word power comes from the Greek dudamos. Strong's defines this word as for especially miraculous power. As believers, we should never underestimate the power that we have through the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I believe, and I do believe that all of us struggle at times, realizing and appreciating the power that we have through the Holy Spirit. Yahshua spoke about the faith of a mustard seed. He spoke about the faith that was able to remove mountains. If we embrace the strength that we find through the Holy Spirit, through the strength of the one we worship, then there's nothing we cannot overcome. There's nothing we can't deal with. There's nothing we cannot get beyond. One of the greatest examples of courage was Joshua. This was a giant of a man with courage. In Joshua 1 verse 5, we find an important message from Yahweh that was given to this man. 1, 5 through 7 says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for unto his people shall you divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Only be you strong and very courageous." Not just courageous, but he says very courageous. There's an emphatic there. Very courageous, very strong. "That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper." So how do we receive prosperity? We receive prosperity when we do what? When we obey. Whithersoever you go. So what two things did Yahweh communicate here to Joshua? Number one, he told Joshua here to be strong and of good courage, to be very, very courageous. Number two, he told him to observe the commandments. For a moment, let's talk about the commandments, just for a moment. Why are the commandments so important to follow? Well, they provide a blueprint for right living, for righteous living. Some people say, well, there is no need to obey the commandments. Well, that's the reason this world is in chaos. That's the reason this nation is becoming immoral. No longer do we care about the Ten Commandments or any of the commandments. Years ago in this nation, we cared about the commandments. Christianity had a very strong moral conviction of Scripture. Where now Christianity has lost its backbone. There is no moral conviction within Christianity anymore. And we are seeing how this nation suffers because of its complacency, because its abhorrence to the commandments. The commandments provide a blueprint of what is right and wrong. The commandments provide a way for us to succeed within this life. Everything Yahweh commands within his word has a reason and purpose. It has a benefit. For example, he commands us not to eat pork and other unclean meat. Well, we now know, science has now shown, proven, eating such unclean animals is bad for our health. We understand that. Again, the concept is simple. When we obey Yahweh, we're blessed. Blessed with good health, blessed with good relationships, blessed with a moral country, a moral nation, good ethics. We're blessed. But when we don't, we're not. We're cursed. Let's talk about the first item here, and that is this courage. Again, Yahweh told Joshua here to be strong and of good courage, to be very courageous, he says. Realize that this was right before Joshua and the Israelites would go into the land of Canaan. What many may not realize and understand is that the occupants of the land were in many ways superior to the Israelites. Remember the description we find of the Israelites in Deuteronomy 7. Yahweh says there that they were a small nation, and many nations within the land of Canaan were greater than the Israelites. They were greater than the Israelites. From Scripture, we see that even there were giants in the land, people of enormous stature. that the Israelites had to deal with. This is why Yahweh told Joshua here to be strong and of good courage. He knew the colossal challenge that awaited the Israelites in the promised land, in Canaan. He knew it. He knew the trials and the tribulations and the struggles that they would encounter. So his initial message is to be strong and of good courage. Now, even though these words were spoken to Joshua, I believe that they are just as relevant to us today. These words are just as pertinent to us today. It may be as much, if not more, with all the chaos that we're seeing in this world. As we've seen throughout the Bible, we're commanded not to fear or to be afraid. Again, we're to realize that we have dunamis, that we have power through Yahweh's Ruach HaKodesh, that we have power through our Father in heaven, that we should rely on that power, that we should have fear, or that we should have faith that he's going to empower us through his dunamis, through his power, through his spirit. Even though there are many reasons to be concerned, we should not allow these to cause anxiety or worry. We are children of the Most High, and that is something that we all need to remember and take to heart. We are children of the Most High, and we have the greatest, again, power in this universe supporting us. I cannot overstate that we have the greatest power in this universe supporting us. Satan, with all of his destructive ways and sly ways, can strive and try to discourage us and pull us away. But in the end, we have a mighty one. We have an Elohim that is vastly, vastly greater. Well, as I've mentioned faith a few times already, I want to look at the meaning of faith for just a few moments. Hebrews 1 verse, or 11 verse 1, it says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for." This is from the NIV, by the way. "Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Based on the definition here, faith is having an assurance. Faith is having confidence in Yahweh. Another way of defining faith is knowing something without having evidence for it. Believing in something that we can't necessarily prove. Beyond the evidence of creation, we cannot see or directly verify Yahweh. We cannot put Yahweh in a test tube and say, "There he is." And yet we believe on him. This belief or faith in Yahweh is crucial when we talk about fear, overcoming fear. Without faith, there is no overcoming fear. Without faith in our Father in heaven, there is no overcoming these concerns and this anxiety. We must learn to have faith. We must remember that there is no situation beyond the help of the one we worship. There is no situation that Yahweh cannot handle. Now, sometimes Yahweh chooses to do certain things, and sometimes I don't have answers why he does those things. I've seen believers go through some horrific things. Yahweh knows. But I do know in the end that no matter what we go through, that we're going to come out ahead. And that's the main thing to remember. If we had to gauge our faith between, let's say, a 1 and a 10, 1 being we don't believe in Yahweh at all, and 10 being we believe that he exists and we have full confidence in the resurrection, where would we place our faith? Where would it be? Now, you don't have to answer that, but I do want you to think about it. Where would it be? Would it be close to a 1 or close to a 10 or somewhere in the middle? Now, if it's in the middle, just remember what we learned from Laodicea. It says if we're lukewarm, that he's going to vomit us out of his mouth. Hopefully, most of us would rank our faith pretty high. I believe there's a connection, again, between faith and fear. When we have faith in Yahweh, there is no reason to fear. And this includes death. And this is very hard for people. This is extremely hard for people. And in all honesty, I would say that we all have some fear of death. But we need to look within and examine faith, examine our faith, and ask, where is our faith, especially with things like death? In the past, I've asked, do we really believe in the resurrection? It's one thing to say, I believe in the resurrection, but do you really believe in the resurrection? If you had to bet your life on it, someday we might. Do we believe in the resurrection? If we had a better life on it, and again, it may come down to that someday, do we believe in the resurrection? When our Savior returns, we're going to be resurrected to eternal life. That's the promise we find. Knowing this, there's no reason to allow fear to dominate our lives. I want to consider now just a few examples of some men who showed incredible faith. Now, the first example I simply want to refer to, I'm not going to read the account, because we all know the account. I want to refer to the story of David and Goliath. David and Goliath. During the reign of King Saul, Israel was at war with the Philistines. During a specific encounter, the Philistine champion Goliath, he was taunting the Israelite army. And David heard his taunting. David went to the king to receive approval to go out and fight against Goliath. At first, King Saul was apprehensive. He was skeptical, and good for good reason. But eventually, he allowed David to go and fight against Goliath. Now, in 1 Samuel 17, verse 45, David spoke these words to this giant of a man. He said this. He says, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to you in the name of Yahweh of hosts, the name of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." We see here that David's faith conquered his fear. David had no fear. David had absolutely no fear. He believed that he would be able to defeat this giant, not because he was of equal stature, not because he was a military man, but because he believed Yahweh was with him and that Yahweh would give him the victory. His faith in Yahweh allowed him to believe in the impossible. And believe me when I say, if we would have compared David to Goliath, we would be saying it was impossible. David was not a trained soldier. Goliath was. Goliath was huge. David was not much to look at. And yet we know that David did indeed do the impossible. He did the impossible. He, through the name of Yahweh, through his faith, through the dunamis of Yahweh's spirit, he was able to defeat that giant of a man. And though through this strength, he gave Israel a great, great victory that day. Now in life, we all have our Goliaths, those situations that seem impossible. We all have situations that seem insurmountable. But as we learn here from David, there is no impossible situation with Yahweh. That even when it seems impossible, even when it seems undoable, that the one we worship is greater and able to provide those victories. When we come against a situation that seems impossible, we need to do as David did and overcome fear with faith. We need to realize that no matter what the situation is, and no matter what is before our eyes, that through Yahweh, we can do all things. There is no impossible situation with Yahweh. He is the mighty one of this universe, and if we believe that, I believe that we can make the impossible possible through him. Now, speaking about insurmountable odds, I want to share another story with you, and I want to read this. This is the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three Hebrew men. Oh, there's a slide. I forgot to transition there. So Daniel, I'm going to read this from Scripture here. So Daniel 3, and we're going to read 12 through 30. So just a few verses here. So 12 through 30. It says, "There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy mighty ones, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not you serve my mighty ones, nor worship the golden image which I have set up?" Kind of makes me think of this whole COVID vaccine, doesn't it? Who are you to oppose our great COVID vaccine? Verse 15, "Now if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, all these instruments here, that you're going to bow down and you're going to worship." Verse 16, it says, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter.'" I really love that verse. Basically, what he's saying is, I really don't care how I reply to you. Think about this. This was to the king. He had no concern. No concern. "If it be so, our Ella, or Elohim, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not..." Now, this is what I find really inspirational. Because they were willing to pay the price, and they were willing to rely on Yahweh's will. They did not know for certain what the outcome would be. They just knew that they were not going to worship this golden image. That's all they knew. It says, "If it be so," okay, verse 18, "but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy mighty ones, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than he was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that they were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because a king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Some died, but as we know, it wasn't these three men. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished. He was shocked. And rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, "Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." That's correct. That's what we did. So he answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the son of Elah, the son of Elohim." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High Elah, come forth and come hither." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princesses and the governors and the captains and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies a fire had no power, nor was a hair on their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed upon them. They were untouched. In every single way, they were untouched. It says, "And Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the Allah of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants, and trusted in him, and have changed a king's word, and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any Allah except their own Allah. Therefore, I will make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the Elohim of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other Elohim that can deliver after this sort." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. In the story, we see that Nebuchadnezzar set up a golden image. He commanded that all within his kingdom fall down and worship this image when the instruments played. But as we see here, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to fall down. They refused to worship this image. They understood that doing so would defy Yahweh's word and defy the relationship with him. Now, because of this defiance, we see here that Nebuchadnezzar was angry with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And as a result, he threw them in a fiery furnace. Now, one of my favorite parts here, again, is verse 16. Verse 16, they told Nebuchadnezzar that they were not afraid, that they were not concerned, that they were not troubled. Whether or not they were saved, they were not afraid. And that's a message I want us to understand today. We should never, never be afraid. This response by these three men took an incredible amount of faith. Perhaps the greatest example of faith we find within the Old Testament. They knew that they were facing almost certain death, but nonetheless, they refused to worship this golden image. They'd rather die and worship Yahweh than defy Yahweh's word. This response by these three men took incredible faith. They knew what they were facing. Now, as we see from the story, Yahweh intervened through an angel. We believe it may have even been Yahshua there, the pre-existent Messiah. But he supernaturally, divinely protected these three Hebrew men. No matter what happened, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was going to be okay, though, because they had no fear. But Yahweh did deliver. Just as we used Goliath as a symbol of our own trials and tribulations, we can use the same with a fiery furnace. The only difference between these two stories is that we find here in Daniel, this was truly divine. This was of Yahweh. This was beyond what we can do in the earthly realm, in this world that we know of. This is impossible in the natural. But Yahweh has a way of making the supernatural possible, even in the natural, if it is his will. And it was his will. In this case, Yahweh literally made the impossible possible. As believers, we should use these examples to strengthen our faith. If Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego can defy a fiery furnace and come out without a hair singed, we can certainly defy those who oppose us. When we come against a situation that seems insurmountable, we're to remember as David defeated Goliath and as these three Hebrew men defeated the fiery furnace, we too can defeat our own shortcomings, our own trials, our own tribulations. We should never forget that Yahweh, again, has a way of making the impossible possible. I really like that saying, that making the impossible possible. I say that fairly frequently, I believe. I want to share one more example with you. One more example. Acts 21, 8 through 13, it says, "And the next day we were of Paul's company, departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, who did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle, and bound his own hands and feet, and said, Thus saith the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owns this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered." Paul did not allow fear to control him. "Paul answered, What mean you to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the sovereign Yahshua." We see here that Paul had a plan. His plan was to go to Jerusalem to evangelize and to share the truth. But before he left, he met a prophet named Agabus. And again, this prophet warned him not to go to Jerusalem, saying that if you go, you will be bound. Everybody there, from what I can tell, tried to convince Paul not to go. But Paul said, look, I'm not only ready to be bound, I'm not only willing to be in prison, but I'm willing to die for the message I'm preaching. Paul was not afraid. Paul was not afraid. As we see here and from other places, Paul had an incredible faith in Yahshua. He was a man on a mission. And even though he came against trials and tribulations and different perils, nothing was going to stop this man from completing his course. Through his faith, he was able to overcome many fears, many trials and tribulations. As we saw with the previous examples, I believe we can learn a lot here from the Apostle Paul. No matter what the concern, no matter what the situation, no matter what we're facing in life, we should not have fear, but we should have faith. Faith is a powerful tool, and we must learn to harness faith. We must meditate upon faith. We must read about faith. We must pray for faith. A man that is a believer without faith is not a believer. We must have faith in the one we worship. As believers, we need to follow in these examples and allow this faith to again overcome whatever fear we might have. As we've already talked about, this world is getting worse. If it's not the pandemic, it's something in the Middle East. If it's not something in the Middle East, it's some other atrocity, some other dire warning, some other travesty that they're predicting. And I do believe that this world is becoming worse. And I do believe that Yahweh's judgment will quickly fall upon this nation. But believing this, I do not believe that we should live in fear. I do believe that there are dark days ahead. I do not believe that we should live in fear. Having faith in Yahweh and overcoming fear is so important. Again, especially in these days. So as we leave this feast, I would encourage everybody here to remember the lessons we've heard, to remember the values and the ethics we've heard, to leave with a new faith, a profound faith, a faith that is resolute, a faith that will remain, a faith that will not be impacted by fear. Because we're leaving now. We're going back into the world. And as we know, the world is vastly different from what we see here. But we can succeed. We can overcome. We will overcome. As long as we believe in the power and the dunamis and the strength and the courage and the faith of our Father in heaven, there is nothing we cannot overcome. So again, I would say thank you for being here. Praise Yahweh for you being here. I'm sure he's very happy that you were here. And I would encourage everybody to be here next year. And so don't forget, make plans now. Put Yahweh first. And remember that Yahweh is our priority. He comes above everything else. So it is our custom to close the feast days with the Aaronic blessings. So if we can all stand, I'd like to pronounce this blessing now upon you. Yevarekecha Yahweh v'yeshmerecha, Yair Yahweh penevelecha v'ikunecha, Yaseh Yahweh penevelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. That is Yahweh bless thee and keep thee. Yahweh make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon thee and give you peace. May Yahweh bless you.